Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. I'm an entrepreneur on my second business, a mentor, an author, wife to a fellow entrepreneur, and mother to a magical little girl. On my podcast, I explore topics that fascinate me that will help you unlock ideas to rise even higher in your life. Myself and my special guests will be talking entrepreneurship and how to build better businesses, organization and figuring out how to get more shit done quicker and smarter, staying in touch with our soul, and how to blend business babies with real babies. Let's jump in to this week's episode. Hello and welcome to episode 2 of my Step Into You season. It is wonderful to be back with you for round 2 of this season. So if you're not familiar with this season already, it is geared at helping you step from being a low-res version of you. And what I mean by low-res is feeling a bit overwhelmed, a bit meh, a bit disconnected from yourself, maybe a bit lost, a bit wishy-washy. I want to step you from being low res to being the full technicolor version of you. So over the course of this season, I will be diving into a different life area each week. So obviously last week it started with my pregnancy journey and the lessons that I learned from that about stepping into my future self. And this week I'm going to be focusing on a, I suppose, different but quite related topic. And that topic is sex. And I'm quietly, well, maybe not so quietly, but yeah, I'm pretty nervous about recording this episode because it's really, I guess, sharing quite a private journey that I've only actually shared with some very close friends and a couple of one-on-one mentees because it was relevant for them at the point that I was working with them. So anyway, I will get into that episode very, very soon. Maybe I'm just delaying getting stuck in. But in the meantime, I wanted to share with you my Step Into You challenge is kicking off on the 1st of February. So Monday, 1st of February, I will be hosting my very first Step Into You challenge. So if the idea of moving from a low-res version of you to a technicolor version of you sounds appealing, you will love this 5-day challenge. So over 5 days, I'll be setting you a small task, a small action to complete on each individual day. The whole idea being that by the end of the 5-day challenge, you've really reignited a spark in yourself that maybe might have been MIA until that point. So it's totally free. You can sign up on my website. It's lorrainemurphy.com.au/step-into-you. And I will, of course, always also put the link into the show notes as well. So I am going to kick in to this episode. So the reason that this episode is part of this season is that I really do believe that sexuality and our sexuality, I mean, I'm assuming most people listening here are going to be women, but obviously there's going to be some men tuning in as well, is a really core part of us. It's a core part of our identity. It's a core part of our energy source, of our just day-to-day contentment and happiness. And if there was one area of my life that helped me step into myself last year, it was my sexuality, which is why I've wanted to do this podcast episode for months. And I was kind of flip-flopping between should I not? Is it too much to share? What if my mom listens to it? Don't worry, my mom's been banned from listening to this episode, as is my dad and anyone remotely related to me. So if you are related to me and you're listening to this right now, I instruct you... very clear instructions to please press stop now and go back and listen to a different episode, please. So I was really flip-flopping between whether or not I should talk about this. But as I said, this was the biggest revelation for me and my own personal identity, power, purpose, just general satisfaction with life last year. So I felt like I would be, I don't want to say cheating you out of it, but I would be doing my audience a disservice not to put on my big girl pants and share the experience I had last year and continuing to have as well. So the other element I think as well is that one of my themes, I think I touched on this in last week's episode, one of my themes for this year is to give no fucks. So I'm channeling give no fucks massively as I'm recording this episode because it's helping me get through the nerves of talking about this. Okay, so quick disclaimer, I'm really getting into this. So, I'm not going to give every single detail, but I will be sharing quite honestly my experience and what I've learned and so on. So, up to you, may not be a great one to listen to with kids around. And also, yes, as I said, if we are related, press stop right now. Thank you. The other, I guess, disclaimer I wanted to add to this episode before we kick in properly is I am not an expert on this topic. That goes without saying. I feel like I can speak with authority on organization and mindset and entrepreneurship and maybe a bit of spirituality and energy management. But I'm not an expert on sex, sexuality, anything like that. There are lots of people out there who are true blue experts on the space, some of whom I've managed to learn from over the last few months. So I'm not an expert on this. And the other thing I will say as well is sex is obviously a space that can be incredibly loaded with trauma and challenge for some people. So if that is you, I really hope that there's nothing in this episode that is triggering for you. And if it is, I'm hoping that you have the network around you, the support infrastructure around you that you can turn to if this is an upsetting or a challenging episode for you to listen to. And, you know, when I say that, I mean, if you have had some kind of sexual trauma, of course, but also if this is a very raw topic for you right now. I mentioned on my podcast episode last week that I wanted to record this episode, and I had an email from one of my community this morning saying, I'm so glad you're going to talk about this because I don't have many close girlfriends, and even the close girlfriends that I do have, I don't feel like I can talk to them about this. And in brackets, she said, which is crazy because I know that they would never judge me or think anything of me. But I think that's the level of stigma and also the level, I think, of shame that is associated with sex for us men and women alike. So I did just want to say that I really do hope that this isn't a triggering or upsetting episode for people to listen to. My full intent with this is to share what has helped me over the last few months, and in the hope that it will also help you if you've been experiencing maybe similar challenges or maybe unrelated challenges, but it's just reassuring to hear someone else talking about this area, which, you know, we don't really ever talk about. At least I haven't in the past. Anyway, okay. So give you some context on this. So the other thing I should say as well is I'm recording this on the Monday night before this episode goes out. Lexi's just gone down. Wade's just put Lexi to bed and he is at home. So I've asked him if he'd be happy to come in and answer some questions at the end of this episode as well, because he's really excited that I'm doing this episode. And he had said weeks ago when I was said to him, I'm playing with the idea of potentially doing this. He said, oh, we could do it together. But I, for reasons I will explain in a few minutes, I didn't want to do it with him. But I thought it'd be really, really great to get his perspective, given that he's kind of a core part of this story that I'm about to take you through. So I will get Wade in for a few minutes toward the end of this episode to, yeah, give his perspective on our experience over the last few months. Okay, so let's kick in. First of all, I want to give you a bit of context as to why I'm doing this episode and I guess the challenges that I personally was experiencing in this area. So the first thing to say is that sex has been an issue in our relationship for a few years now. And I would say it was the issue. I think most relationships, there's one. This is purely from my experience and chatting to some friends and mentees. I feel like there's one area. We had a relationship counselor a few years ago called Susie, and she talked about the five horsemen of relationship challenges. I'm hoping I can remember them. One is sex. One is parenting. One is family. So like in-laws and extended family. One is housework. And a fifth is money. So they're the five horsemen of relationship challenges. So of them, I mean, we've experienced, I mean, I should say everyone except the parenting one. Probably we're generally quite aligned on that. But sex, if I was to pick kind of our one horseman that has been the biggest challenge, it would 110% be the sex one. And the problem was that my sex drive was nowhere near as matched as Wade. So now that I've done my research into the space, it's called like a mismatch of libido or mismatch of sex drive or sexual desire. And that was the problem. And that was what I wanted to fix, inverted commas. And I'm saying that because I'm going to get into this in obviously a lot more detail shortly. And so this obviously caused massive issues in our relationship because Wade wanted sex way more than I did. And then I started to, I guess, fall into a bit of a, say, a shame spiral, if that's the right word, where I convinced myself there was something wrong with me. And I need to be really clear, Wade, I mean, never intentionally would want to pressure me or anything like that, but just the fact that he had such an appetite for sex and I didn't immediately, and I think we women are very, very good at this as well, of convincing ourselves that we're the problem. I know, for example, if there's anything wrong at all with Lexi, I convince myself it's something I have done as her mother, never anything Wade has done or the fact that she's on her own life path, in relatively individual to us, you know, I'm always convinced that it's me and I'm the problem and I'm the broken one. And I do think, I was just writing about this today in a writing sample for my new book, the whole idea that we women are very, very good at taking on responsibility. If there's any kind of problem or mistake, we immediately take it on. Like, okay, it's my fault. It's my responsibility. I need to sort it out. I'm broken. I'm wrong. There's something wrong with me. I feel like that tends to be the default. And I do see a lot of that in my mentoring work as well, that kind of mindset coming up for women. So I really, really agonized over it. I would say for the last kind of 2-3 years, it's been a real source of shame. Probably, I mean, I talked in my money mindset episode a few months ago about the shame I had around having credit card debt in my business, which thankfully isn't there anymore. And this was like, this is probably even an even deeper level of shame for me, was this issue around sex and convincing myself that I was broken in some way because I didn't have a raging sex drive. So I really agonized it about it. And then of course, because of that, I didn't want to talk to friends about it. And then as a result, I felt even more shameful about it. And then I felt even worse. So that's the shame spiral that I'm talking about there. And I think even then it got, so Brené Brown talks about this. She says, I can't remember the others. There's three essential ingredients to shame being able to thrive. And one of them is silence, so it not being talked about. So that's often why, if we're feeling really embarrassed about something or shameful about something, when we talk to someone else, whether or not they've had that same experience and they don't judge us, it's like we just feel a weight lifted off our shoulders because we don't have the weight of that silence on us anymore. And we feel like we can start to, I guess, heal the shame, bring it forward into the light and start to heal it. So I wasn't talking to anyone about it, and it had gotten to the point where Wade and I couldn't talk about it because it just came with so much tension and so much angst that it would get to the point where he would raise the conversation. I would immediately, almost like I can sense it now in me if I try and go back there, like a physiological reaction of like massive defensiveness, feeling really pressured, even though that of course wasn't his intention. And the shame, just a fucking lethal cocktail of just everything that would make you feel like shit about yourself and your life and your whole purpose and why you're here and your value as a person and so on. And I do need to be really clear, that was never Wade's intention. He wanted to bring it forth and talk about it so we could work it out together. But because I convinced myself that the problem was me and I was broken, it's like, well, how do I fix myself? I don't know. But I did try to fix it over the last couple of years. I consulted, particularly when I went to Bali. I always feel a lot freer when I go to Bali to look at the deeper stuff for myself. I did speak to a couple of healers about it in Bali. And then I also had, what would you say, treatment? Therapy, I don't know, de-armoring earlier on this year. If you want to know more about it, I'll touch on it in a second. But if you do want to know more about it, I did an episode. Crap, I should find that, shouldn't I? I'll find it for the show notes. I did an episode on de-armoring, my experience of de-armoring. It was in my Bali. I did an episode live from Bali, not live, but in Bali while I was there in February this year. So I'll dig out that episode and link to it in the show notes so you can find it there as well. So I had an experience, series of three treatments called de-armoring. And essentially what de-armoring is, I actually got onto it because Melissa Ambrosini wrote about it in her book Open Wide, and that was my first time hearing about de-armoring. And what it is, it essentially says that women store a lot of their trauma in their private parts, so like their vagina, their cervix, their womb. That's where we store trauma, stress, tension, it gets stored there. And the whole idea of de-armoring, it's essentially massage, so intimate massage, that helps your tissues in those very, very sensitive areas release that trauma so that the tissue can heal. And then the whole idea then is that has a broader kind of holistic impact on you and your mental, physical, emotional state when it comes to not just sex, but just life in general. So I had three treatments when I was in Bali in February. I'm so glad, like looking back, that I actually got to do that trip. I came back and pretty much the week after it was like, we're not going to be traveling for a while. So that was a really, I think it was a transformational experience because I realized how much trauma was actually stored in my tissues between, I had precancerous cells on my cervix when I was 23. So I had laser treatment for that. I talked about this in the pregnancy episode last week. I'm spending a lot of time talking about my gynae bits. And I had endometriosis. I had a laparoscopy in order to help us fall pregnant with Lexi. And then while I was giving birth to Lexi, I had a episiotomy. Just completely forgot what that was called. So there was quite a bit of trauma stored there. And I could feel a huge release as I went through those three treatments. And I thought that having those treatments would help my sex drive or my sexual appetite to come back, which wasn't the case. I feel like it was very healing, but it didn't have necessarily the effect that I thought it would, which would be me to be raging for sex all the time, which in retrospect was probably a bit unrealistic anyway to expect that outcome. So I was trying to kind of fix it, inverted commas. And last year then, over kind of March, April, May, June, myself and Wade were really in the fire with our relationship. And so we were really working through some really, really heavy stuff in our relationship. And it was incredibly stressful. I've talked about this in my personal highs and lows episode and on and off with my love club and mentees and so on. And sex was a major issue that was coming up as part of that. And around this time then, I started having acupuncture because as part of the stress that was going on between him and I started to experience these insane night sweats, which were really, really upsetting and traumatic at the time. So I had these night sweats for about 3 or 4 months and went the traditional medicine route. There was nothing, inverted commas, wrong with me. The doctor couldn't find anything in bloods or anything like that. And I then tried kinesiology, which helped a little bit. And then turned to acupuncture. So I found an acupuncturist near us where we live in Sydney. And she actually specializes in fertility, which wasn't why I wanted to see her. And when I started working with her, I touched on this in the pregnancy episode. When I started working with her, she pretty much said, I need to see you every week for 8 weeks. Like, we've got a deep pathology was her word. And your body's very stressed and we need to get you back in balance. Basically, I had giving you the 101 in Chinese medicine in my very, very layman's terms. During the night, so overnight, we're in our yin energy, which is our feminine energy. And during the day, we're in our yang energy. So what was happening is that my body wasn't able to access almost like its full yin state overnight. And as a result, I was overheating, like literally overheating and waking up in these like completely drenched. And it was pretty awful. So I started working with Maggie and I really started to experience, I think within 2 weeks of starting to see her, I started to see a difference. So I'm not saying I was like raging for sex, but I definitely was more interested in sex than I had been. And I said that to her. I was like, I've really noticed this. And she said, yeah, that's because we're getting your yin back in, like almost like that deep feminine energy. We're getting you back there. So at the same time, then Wade and I were working with a new relationship therapist, Robert, who was freaking like a magician. We did our first session with him, which was a 2.5 hour session on Zoom. This was right in the middle of, we weren't in lockdown, in isolation last year. And we got off the session with him and just looked at each other and went, whoa, that man is a magician. And interestingly, something that Robert identified, I actually want to get Robert on this season of the podcast because I've just learned so much from him in terms of relationships, how to make them work and the differences between men and women. And something that Robert observed very early on in our very first session with him on Zoom was he said, you aren't making eye contact with each other. Like, you don't look at each other. And that was a really big, it was very confronting for me for him to say that. And I think Wade would probably say that as well. And I was just chatting with my love club about this on our session last month. And what I realized is like, that's so true. Like, some days I could go all day without looking Wade properly in the eye because it's okay. Have you got Lexi? I'm doing this for dinner. Are you okay if I get to the gym? Like, so much of your interaction day to day in a, I don't want to say long-term relationship, but I know in our relationship, it does come down to logistics when you're co-parenting, each of you is running a business and you each have your goals that you want to hit, like your weekly exercise, time with friends, meditation, all that kind of thing. Like, that requires a lot of working together in order to make all that happen. And it's a lot of logistics time. And from what I've learned, that directly takes away from the sexy time because it's not sexy talking about, okay, who's picking up dental floss today, for example. So that was a really big aha moment when Robert observed that about myself and Wade, that we weren't actually making full eye contact or rarely, if ever, we were in that first session. And something Robert said to us is that unless you are connected, you can't heal anything in your relationship. And that actually came up in the context of sex when I think we'd done about 5 sessions with Robert. And then finally I felt like, okay, I feel like I can go there with sex, with Robert's supervision, because as I said, it was just such a triggering. I can't even express it. Maybe some of you listening have had this experience where just knowing that a topic is about to come up, I just sends you into a cold sweat. So we had a conversation with one of our sessions. We said, look, we want to talk about sex because it's a huge issue in our relationship. So Robert did some work with us around getting connected, first of all, and then we started to talk about it. And we healed a conversation that had actually come up in counseling 2 years beforehand. So in two years beforehand, we were in a counseling session with Susie, our counselor, and we had said, we want to talk about sex. Pretty much copy and paste what we were saying to Robert at this point in time. And Susie, the way she approached it was said, okay, and you know, this was a great approach. It just probably, I mean, I don't think we responded properly to the approach or in the most productive way to her approach. And what she said was, I said, you know, I feel like Wade has all these expectations around sex and I just don't feel like I can fulfill them. And she said to Wade, like, what does success look like? What would you like? And Wade said, I would like sex twice a day. And I laughed. I just laughed. And I was like, that is so fucking unrealistic. It's not even funny. He's like, well, I don't think it would be. I mean, not yelling, but he said, I don't think it would be unrealistic. So I had carried that in my mind for 2 years, probably more than 2 years, saying, look, I'm never going to be able to live up to that. You know, I find it hard enough sometimes to have sex once a week with Wade and to try and do it twice a day. Like, what? No way. And you know, that's probably my limiting belief. Maybe it's more than available to us. I am obviously limiting myself when I say that, but I just couldn't see at the time. And to be honest, right now, can't see how that would be feasible in the lives that we are currently living. So I had carried that with me. And in the session with Robert, we actually worked through that conversation. And Wade said, he didn't say I was taking the piss, but he said, look, I think he was frustrated at the lack of progress in the session. And he kind of said that as a, I guess almost like acting out. That's probably the best way to describe it. I'm sure he wouldn't mind me describing it as that as well. And that was incredibly healing to go, okay, he didn't mean that. Like, that hasn't been his expectation the whole way along. And I think this is where the big realization comes around the need for communication around sex with our partner or partners, whatever you're into, because we had just stopped talking. I just couldn't talk to him about it anymore. And I was too afraid. That was such a, I guess, a wounding and hurtful conversation that we had with Susie that day that I felt I can't go back and have that feeling again. It's almost like a safety thing. Like, it was almost like my safety catch as well. Like, if I don't talk to him or ask him that question again, then I won't have to hear the answer. That just stresses me out to the nth degree. So the acupuncture was happening. Wade and I had that really healing conversation in one of the sessions with Robert. And then I kind of felt a bit brave and I started to feel curious and a bit fed up of just feeling like absolute shit about this one topic in my life and wasn't talking to any friends about it. And, you know, I think this is just a bit of a sidestep on this whole topic of sex. I think when you are in your single days, you know, for those of you who are still single, like, I think when you're going out, you're dating, you're having, you know, whether it's full sex or whatever, you're having some kind of experiences with different people. And it's a real point of like excitement and conversation with your mates. You're drinking gallons of Sauvignon Blanc and then everyone's kind of downloading on their latest exploits. And it's so fun and it's so bonding and it's so exciting. And I really noticed that once we started to couple up, I mean, in my friendship circles, we just stopped talking about sex. Like, I have not had a conversation about sex with any of my close girlfriends for years. And which is really, really sad because obviously I was carrying such a massive weight of shame with me about this particular topic. And so I think that really compounds things as well, because you're kind of in your own ivory tower. Like, you don't know, almost like a bubble. Like, you're in your bubble. You're not talking. I wasn't talking to my friends about it. I didn't know what their experiences were. Is this normal? So then, of course, then it just doubles down and compounds and compounds and compounds, where you go, well, there's something wrong with me. I'm fucked up. So I started to feel a bit more curious and started to say, okay, well, I'm fed up of feeling like crap about this. I want to start learning and figuring out how I can feel better about this. I mean, I guess taking more of a solutions-based approach to it rather than just angsting about it 24/7. So I started to listen. I listened to a lot of podcasts on the topic, which was really, really helpful. Read quite a few articles and also just tuned into people who were talking about this. I mean, Melissa's book, Open Wide, I read it years ago, but I feel like that's a brilliant book. If there's this is a space that you want to experience, you want to dive deeper into. I think her book Open Wide, that was, as I said, I read it years ago, but it really did plant quite a few seeds for me for this journey. Yeah, sounds wanky, but that's journey of transformation, because that's really what it has felt like. Now, I really wish I could remember where and how I listened to this particular podcast episode, because I want to credit this woman, and I cannot for the life of me remember who she was or what. She was a US university lecturer, and she actually lectured in sex at like one of the big Ivy League universities. I can't remember. It's so annoying. I can't remember this episode because it was really, really transformational for me. And basically, she was the first university professor to start teaching on this subject. I think she was like a women's studies professor, and then her specialty was sex. So she had hundreds of women in her class in this university, and she went in and she lectured on sex. So the context of sex, societal norms and expectations around sex, and so on. And she shared something really, really powerful in this interview. And she said that at the end of her first semester of teaching this class for the very, very first time, this again is in the US, she asked a question of the class. I think it was like in their end of year paper, in their exam. She asked a question around what has been your biggest learning on this course, on this, taking this class for the last, whatever, 3 months. And she said it was almost unanimous. She got hundreds of responses back from her pupil students. And she said almost every single one of them said that I've realized that I'm normal. I've realized that I'm normal. And she said it was just such a, just such a, I don't know, an eye-opener, but I think that's too mild. Just saying, you know, she didn't realize that women carried so much weight and expectation and assumption that, well, if he wants sex more than me, or I want sex more than him, or I'm into this kind of sex and not this kind of sex, then there's something wrong with me. So it was obvious that whatever she was teaching these, you know, very fortunate university students, whatever she was teaching them, was teaching them about the breadth of sex and the variety of sex, and that there's no kind of one way that's the right way. So I thought that was really, really powerful for me. I can remember the exact moment that she said that on my walk one morning. It was during isolation. I used to walk every morning for half an hour and listen to a podcast episode. So that was huge, because I started to go, well, if they all realized they were normal, what if I'm normal too, regardless of what's happening at home or conversations or what I'm, you know, the negative bullshit that I'm telling myself in my life. Maybe I'm normal. Maybe everything I'm experiencing right now is completely normal. And that's a huge reason that I wanted to share this episode, because for every single one of you listening, male and female, wherever you're at sexually, it's totally normal. And you know, what even is normal? So there's no one benchmark for this is what it means to be, you know, good at sex or whatever you want to say. So I think that was a massive realization. That was my first big realization on this journey, this kind of curiosity adventure that I went on. The second huge realization that I had with this was that I think for a long time, and maybe for my entire life, I assumed that my sexuality was something that was very much attached to the man that I was sleeping with. And so my partner, it was about his sexuality and kind of my sexuality kind of fit around his or met his needs. And it's a strange thing, because I mean, I would say that I really enjoy sex. Like I love sex. I think I'm quite good at it. And it's not like when, this is where it gets weird, and I'm like, my mom's not listening, so it's fine. I would say that Wade is a lot more interested in my enjoyment than his own enjoyment when we do. What's the nice way of saying it? We are intimate. But I realized that I was telling myself this story that because Wade wasn't happy with the quantity of sex that we were having, that therefore my sexuality was in question. So what I realized was that my sexuality is, it's almost like a sovereign nation. Like it's a state unto itself. It's unique. It's individual. It's not, while it engages with Wade's sexuality, it's not, his sexuality is not my sexuality. That was really big for me. And I hope I'm making sense of that, because I think for so long I was carrying all this guilt and the shame around the fact that, oh, I'm falling short for him, when actually I was falling short for myself. This is a space that's got so much potential and excitement and pleasure in it. And yet I was cheating myself out of that, because I felt like, well, the whole reason for being of my sexuality is to be attached to his sexuality. I hope I'm making sense with that point. That was a really, really big one for me, and I haven't articulated it out loud. So I'm hoping, I'm really, really hoping that that makes sense. So that was a huge realization as well. I'm just checking in my notes here because I've scribbled notes and I want to make sure I don't miss anything because this is kind of where we're getting to the turning point. Okay. Around this time, as I'm still kind of thinking there still might be something wrong with me, I need to fix myself in some way. A friend of mine, Jacqueline, told me about a hypnotherapist that she had worked with who randomly, so her name is Rachel Crether, and she's featured on the podcast before. And Rachel had reached out about potentially doing, she reached out about the podcast because she had some really good ideas for topics that would be really cool and interesting for my community. And she reached out just as I was thinking, I need to talk to someone about how to create new habits. And it was part of my Get Remarkably Organized program because I wanted to create an opportunity for the group to obviously work with me on my online, it was an 8-week program, but also to have access to two experts. So one of the experts that I wanted to have was someone who specialized in creating new habits. And then Rachel got in touch and it was one of the exact topics that she suggested for the podcast. So I went back and said, yeah, love it, but can you also be part of my program with me, please? Thank you. So I connected with Rachel, had a really good conversation with her about how we would approach the program together. And then I started to think about, well, maybe I could just rewire my brain. Maybe, again, still in there's something wrong with me zone. Maybe there's something going on with my brain that I need to rewire it in some way. And maybe hypnotherapy would help. And I'd never tried hypnotherapy before. So I set up a call with Rachel, got on the phone with her, explained to her what I wanted to do. And when I was talking to her, so this is like the get to know you call to see if we wanted to work together. And when I was speaking to her, I guess the problem I was telling her was that I just feel like my sex drive is not where it should or could be, or, you know, which, you know, inverted commas should be. I don't feel like I'm normal. And I would really love to do some work with you just to explore, like, okay, is there something that I need to fix on like a subconscious level that I would feel way more interested in sex? So Rachel was a bit bemused, I think, but she was like, yeah, you know, I haven't done a huge amount of work in this space. Like this is the first time that someone has come to me with this particular challenge. There was a couple of other sexual challenges that she mentioned people had come to her about, obviously not naming her clients by name, of course. But she said, yeah, I think I could help you. So I booked a session with her for the following week. I think it was like a two-hour session, which is like the deep hypnotherapy session. So this is, say, on the Wednesday. And then on the Friday morning, my beautiful friend Kylie Camps, she's got an excellent podcast. And she's one of the people that I was tuning into more because she has covered sexuality and male-female interaction and so on a lot on her Instagram, but also on her podcast as well. And on the Friday morning on my walk, I listened to a podcast interview that Kylie had done with a woman called Dr. Wednesday Martin. So Dr. Wednesday Martin is a sex researcher, a prolific kind of opinion leader and key opinion leader, I guess, in the world of sex. She's from the US as well. And I listened to the first half of this interview on a Friday morning, and I don't think I have ever listened to a podcast episode before that changed my life as much as that did. I actually feel quite emotional thinking about it. So I listened to the first half and went, whoa, it was such a mind fuck because she was just saying the very opposite to the story that I had been telling myself for years in my own mind. I listened to the second half of it on the way to and from taking Lexi to and from swimming the next day. And it was like, I feel like a window opened in my mind that I had never known was there. And I'm going to explain why this was such a big deal for me. Wednesday Martin said, and she has done shitloads of research into this, she said that women start to tell themselves that there's something wrong with them when they experience a drop in sexual desire in a long-term relationship. Now, what she said is that, I think she says 90% of women between 1 to 4 years after entering a monogamous relationship will experience a significant drop in sexual desire for their partner. And she says that she would talk to women and say, you know, they say, oh, I just don't feel like sex. Like, I don't know what's going on. And she would say to them, well, what if you got to have sex with someone else? And they would be like, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, I'd be up for that. Yeah, that would be exciting. And they kind of re-engage. So her whole point here is that she says that women, we think because we live in such a patriarchal society, we think that men are the ones that need variety and excitement. And we think that they're the ones who want to go off and have affairs and so on all of the time. When she said it's actually women who need more variety than men. She said women will start to lose interest, and I don't mean like full interest, but sexual appetite for their partner in a monogamous relationship 1 to 4 years into their relationship. Men don't experience that till around the 10-year mark. And this was like revolutionary for me. And I pondered it. So this was a Saturday morning that I'd listened to the second half of this, and I pondered it and pondered it and pondered it. And Lexi was going to a sleepover that day, and Wade and I had booked tickets to go see Pretty Woman at the movies. I think it was like a 4 p.m. showing. So we're driving to the cinema, and Wade just said something about sex. It wasn't even related to our sex life. It was nothing kind of majorly significant or, you know, remarkable about it. And I was like, yeah, I've been thinking about this sex thing a lot. And he was driving the car, and it was like he almost crashed the car, that I think I was just so relaxed to saying that to him. I think he was so used to me kind of clamming up and getting really, really tense and closing down if he ever raised the topic of sex. And he was like, what? And I said, yeah, I've been listening to this podcast interview. It's really changed my mindset in a massive way. He was like, whoa, tell me. So I told him a tiny bit about it. And then we went and watched the movie and we sat down for dinner. And of course, he was so excited. He was like, tell me what's going on. So I filled him in on this interview. And I just sat, I remember sitting, we were at this pub in Newtown having dinner. And I just said to him, babe, like, I'm just fucking bored. I am so bored. He just looked at me like, what the fuck? Where is this coming from? And I said to him, you know, I look at you, you are gorgeous. You are so, you know, incredibly sexy. Like, I look around this entire pub. You know, I don't walk around down the street going, whoa, there's loads of men way hotter than my husband. Like, you're the best. Like, you're the hottest. But I've just been with you for so long. It's been, what's it been? 2009. It's been 11 years. Like, I'm just bored. And I feel like our sex life is predictable. And I don't get excited because I just feel like I know what's going to happen, or like, you know, whatever. And he just sat across the table. Like, his face was just hysterical. It was like this split thing between, what the fuck? What have I unleashed? Also, oh my God, I'm so excited. She's talking about sex. This is amazing. And whoa, where do we go from here? And, it, you know, seriously, kudos to the man. He was so open. And yeah, he was just so open and not remotely defensive. As, you know, I've talked to a couple of friends and they're like, whoa, how did Wade take this? And I was like, he was just so excited that we were talking about it, to be honest. So we had that conversation, which was a massive conversation for us to have. And then I had the session. I hadn't actually told Wade that I'd booked the session with Rachel. And I told him in that conversation, look, I've booked hypnotherapy. But I said, I'm not going into the session anymore. And now, knowing what I know, understanding what I understand from listening to this podcast episode, I'm not going into the session going, I want to fix myself. I want to go into the session going, I want to release any limitations, any confines that I feel like I've placed on myself around my permission to enjoy sex and experiment with sex. So I felt like I'd been let out of jail. That is the only way I can describe it. And then I wanted to obviously work on that with Rachel. So I had the session with Rachel. We started the session. I said, look, getting you up to speed, this is where I'm at. Again, she was pretty bemused and amused looking at me going, okay. And so I said, look, I want to go into this, kind of change the brief. I said, I want to go into this exploring, like, am I holding on to limitations around sex and my permission, sorry, me giving myself permission to experience pleasure, to really embrace sex, enjoy sex, just, yeah, have it, enjoy it, not feel limited by it. So we had the session, and it was very interesting. So how it works with Rachel is, she works with Rapid Transformation Therapy, so RTT, which is a form of hypnotherapy. So the way the session worked is that we spent about 20 minutes me talking about this experience and how, why I wanted to, my experience or what I wanted to change about my life, which was obviously this permission to enjoy sex and allow myself experiment more with sex. And then she put me under, I think, is that the right word? She placed me in a hypnotic state, which was very relaxing and not freakish at all. And then she took me back. She asked my subconscious mind to take her back to 3 times in my past where I had somehow started to build up some kind of a limiting belief around sex. I don't want to go into the exact experience. I'll share one, but I don't want to go into the other two because other people related to, involved in them. But one was when I was at the age of 8, and I'm not talking about sexual abuse or trauma, but there was something that happened when I was 8. There was something else that happened when I was 21. And the most recent one that came up was actually giving birth to Lexi and the episiotomy. And I actually became quite distressed when I was going under and going back to that experience with her. Sorry, I'm getting a croaky throat because I've been mentoring a lot today. Ah, I'm talking a lot. So that came up and I thought that was interesting because, as I said to Rachel in the session, I feel like I had healed that back when I did the de-armoring in February in Bali, but it was almost like there was still some kind of a remnant of that experience in my, you know, in my subconscious mind somewhere. So then she performed like a healing where she talks, it's almost like a really massive, amazing pep talk. And that went on for about 15 minutes. And I was still under, like I was still in a hypnotic state during that. And then she brought me out. And then at that point, then she gave me the 15 minute healing. It's, she had recorded that. And then the whole idea then is that you listen to that for 30 days after 30 or 21 days. Can't remember, after the session every day. So the whole idea is that then really cements the transformation. So I did my homework. She was like, I want to set you homework, but I don't know how to set you homework for this particular one. So I did the homework. Now the other thing that was happening around this time, to find this page in my notebook, this, I think I'd written this before I had the session with Rachel, and I called it my Make Lorraine Sexy Again plan. And I've got the list here in my notebook. So I'm reading I'm like reading my journal. It's a bit embarrassing. And what I was thinking was, okay, if I was on the dating scene, what would I be doing? Because of course, when you're in a long-term relationship, there's a level of comfort that starts to happen where you get around in your disgusting tracksuit bottoms and you have your comfortable underwear that you, I mean, I don't think I'm terrible with the comfortable underwear, but definitely probably have my favorites that might not be the most appealing to Wade. So I said, okay, well, if I was dating again, if I was to, there was no plans to do this, but say I was single and I was like, that's it, I'm going to go dating again. Like, what would I be doing differently? And it wasn't with a view to getting more attention from Wade. It was to feel more sexual myself, like in myself. Again, going back to that idea of claiming my sexuality as my own and not something that was, a possession of Wade's, I guess. So I wrote in my notebook, if I was dating, I would. And I had four key criteria. The first one was that I would be groomed. The second is that I would look amazing naked. The third was that I would, I'm trying to read my writing, dress to feel and look amazing. And fourth, that I would be playful with sex. So I figured they're the four things I would do. If I was on the dating scene and I was footloose and fancy free and single, they're the things that I would be doing. So just to explain those a bit more, and I made a list. This is really embarrassing. This is how my brain works. So to be groomed, I said my hair would be blow dried each week, which probably not super realistic, but my whole thing was just to look groomed. I'd have my fake tan done each week. I would have my lashes done and I would have my bikini line under control. They were my be groomed ones. The second one that I had was look amazing naked. So that was fit, toned, strong body, have fabulous underwear and have glowing, fresh skin. The third one was to dress to feel and look amazing. So that was to wear heels when possible. So, you know, hashtag mum life and ISO life. Probably wore my heels 5 times last year. So heels when possible, wear dresses and skirts more than like jeans and tops, that kind of thing. No daggy loungewear. What did I say? Fitted sexy clothes and just, yeah, generally looking like I made an effort rather than kind of putting on the same outfit that is my tried and tested outfit. And I think also this is extra because I think for me, when I do speaking, for example, or I'm hosting workshops in person, I would dress up more and that's my chance to kind of feel a bit more glam. But I'm pretty sure all of us felt significantly less glam last year when there kind of wasn't any events to go to. There was nothing necessarily to dress up for. So that was a really big one. And the fourth one was playful with sex. So with that one, I had fun toys, self-connection. I connected to myself on a sexual level rather than trying to be connected with a partner and forgetting about myself. And just exciting plans, like cool stuff to look forward to. And I didn't necessarily just mean sex. I meant like, you know, a date or going onto a new experience that really dials up that sense of variety, spice of life type thing. So from there, I made a list. This is so cringy. I've only shown this to my friend Julie so far and Wade. So one thing, because I wanted to do my tan, but my tanning mitt hadn't been washed for fucking months. So my first thing was to wash my tanning mitt so I could actually do my tan. Did that. I booked in to get my lashes done. And I normally just get like the natural, like they put where they put one lash on each eyelash. And I decided to get the fucking Russian volume or whatever they're called. Oh my Lord, I look like a drag queen. I had to trim them. As soon as I got home, I trimmed them and they still looked way too extra. But I got my lashes done. And I was going to book my wax, but I actually had laser, so TMI, I had laser hair removal a few years ago, and that kind of fixed things. So I just, a bit more grooming there, way TMI. Fourth one was to join a gym and go 5 times per week. So I did that. I found exercise I loved, which I've touched on in previous episodes as well. It got really fit and toned and strong. And my core was really strong. Just felt, yeah, like strong for the first time in quite a few years. And I wanted to do an underwear spree because I had like a couple of kind of, I guess like date night underwears that I would pull out every few months. But I just wanted to get really beautiful underwear that I would wear every day and not be like saving it up. So Wade and I went away for a couple of nights to the Southern Highlands, and there was a store there, Bendon, which is like a high street underwear store. And they've got lots of different brands. They're like an umbrella brand, and they had like 50% off across the entire store. So I went in and bought, I must have bought like 6 different sets and like a little teddy and like bought beautiful stuff. And so yeah, I think I got like $700 worth of underwear for about $300. And that was the first time I've ever done that. And I just felt amazing in that underwear, and you still do. It's gorgeous. The other thing I did, I wanted to do just based on my glowing fresh skin, was to get skin needling. So I completed a course of skin needling last year. The other one I wanted to do was to get fillers. I wanted to look younger. And I did actually go and see like an aesthetic clinic, and I was primarily actually to sort out my jaw, because I've had TMJ issues for years, and someone had said that I could get Botox. Actually, my dentist said you can get Botox, which will relax the muscles. So while I was there, I got a little bit in my brow, like my frown and my crow's feet. I mean, it made a difference. I definitely looked less crow's feety. But no one noticed a thing. I hardly noticed myself. So to be honest, I wouldn't bother doing that again. And I just need to be really clear as well here, team, right? This isn't about me kind of getting myself injected up to the eyeballs so I look hot for a guy. This was more about me going, okay, I'm self-conscious because I feel like I look tired. And, you know, I was. But I'm not saying we need to do all these things to kind of appeal to someone else or make ourselves feel better. This is just stuff that I hadn't tried before, and I was just curious to see if I would like it. The other thing I want to do is clear my wardrobe just of crap, that like heavy stuff, not heavy stuff, but like stuff that wasn't like in line with the lighter, brighter me that I was designing in my head. I wanted to complete my hypnotherapy, which I did with Rachel, and also buy some toys. So I'm going to talk about that in a minute, actually. So where am I up to? That was the Make Lorraine Sexy Again. Cannot believe I have shared that with potentially thousands of people. I will move on quickly before I hit stop and abandon this entire podcast episode. But I just thought it was a thing. It was like, around, okay, what are the things that would make me feel excited and lit up? And yeah, like I felt like I'm feeling really good in myself. And I do think I did talk to, not, it wasn't about this specific thing, but I had a conversation last year with my psychologist, Fiona. And she was talking about the importance of adornment for women. I'm not saying all women, but for some, to most women. She said adornment is really important. It's something that we do to really access our feminine energy, whether it's our hair being done. I know all of my friends have like their thing. For some, it's having their nails done is their thing. Some, it's their hair. I think for me, it's having hair. Like if my hair is blow dried and bouncy, I just feel like an absolute rock star. So that idea of adornment, it's not necessarily, as I said, a way of getting attention from other people, men or women. It's more about, for me anyway, that adornment is about me feeling really good in myself and strong, and not strong, but, you know, powerful and flirty and whatever I'm trying to channel on that particular day. So I wanted to touch on that. As I see it, the underwear, I just written underwear here on my list to talk to you about. Underwear was massive. And, you know, even now, I mean, what was that, 6 months ago I bought that underwear, and even now I just get such a kick out of putting that beautiful underwear on, like having matching beautiful underwear. It's been so good. And also underwear that's fitted really well for me. Like my body just looks 10 times better in underwear that's really, yeah, it's the perfect size for me. So that was amazing. So I completed the hypnotherapy with Rachel. I think I was like about 2/3 of the way through the recordings with Rachel. I'm getting shy now, Lorraine. I'm in this deep. I might as well keep going. So what, there was a particular experience that Rachel had said to me in the very, very initial session, as in the kind of the deeper healing session, the 2-hour session or whatever I did with her. she had said, you know, how would you know, like, what's an experience that you would have if you were this kind of free version of yourself that you want to be? And I saw, and this was all while I was under hypnosis, and I saw very, very clearly what that experience would be. And I was in two minds. I did go talk to Wade before I recorded this episode. I was like, should I talk about this? And I just feel like it's a bridge too far to talk about what specific experience it was. I feel like I'm happy to go to a certain point, and I just feel like that's probably just a bridge too far. But I was very clear in this hypnotic state of what this experience would be. And it's an experience that it was like kind of a bucket list. I was like, oh my God, if I gave no fucks whatsoever, I would do that. And I never in a million years thought that it was something that I just that I would have the guts to do, or I would give myself permission to do. And an opportunity came up for this experience, and I was the initiator, organized the whole thing. And it was such an interesting experience because I had this vision of like, if I committed to something like that, that I would freak out, like I would wig out, I wouldn't be able to go through with it. And I went, like, I loved it. We had such a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant experience. And that was huge for me because I feel like that was I feel like I knew the hypnotherapy was working because I was feeling freer and more engaged and more connected, like with myself, but also with Wade. But I think it was having that experience that just went, whoa, like this is how much I have actually rewired my brain. It was pretty insane. And then the other thing I wanted to touch on is toys as part of this. Because I felt like, and again, this is kind of symbolic, I think. I feel like, I mean, we didn't have a huge amount of toys, we did a few things, but I feel like the toys had been chosen by Wade and they were kind of in line with what he would find, I don't know, exciting, sexy, whatever you want to say, turn on. And like, they're fun. I enjoy playing with them too. And then we went to one of my things, because given my Make Lorraine Sexy Again plan was toys. For my birthday, we had said Wade was going to buy me something that I wanted to choose. And we had a night in the city for my birthday, and we went to a store called Honey Burdette. I'll link to it in the show notes as well. So it's weird. I'm kind of obsessed with the brand, just purely, well, obviously from a customer experience, but also just from a brand positioning experience. So they're in, I mean, I don't know, I think they've got a lot of locations around Australia, but they're in like our kind of local, not our local shopping center, but like the local, the shopping center we would go to, like to Aldi and Coles and Cotton On and stuff, like they're there. So they're very high street. They've also got a store in the QVB, and they got one in Pitt Street. I do sound like an absolute obsessive. They've got a store in the QVB and in Pitt Street Mall in the middle of Sydney. And obviously they're online. And they're not sponsoring us at all. It's been a brand that I've discovered and absolutely loved over the last few months. And so it's weird. It's like this store that's in the middle of these kind of pretty mainstream shopping centers, and you just go in and it's just like another world, like the most incredible lingerie, but not like lingerie that you would wear, like the lingerie that I had bought, like full on like sex lingerie, like you're wearing this for sex. And what I really love about it, I've done some research on the brand. It was actually started by two women. So it's a female led company. So I really love that idea of they've created this brand. This brand has been created by women for women. And I just, when I went into the store, like you just feel it, like it just feels different, because you probably couldn't have dragged me into, you know, when you're out, like, I don't know, if I'm traveling for work and you're traveling from the airport into the city and you're going through those industrial areas and, you know, just those like, oh, just those kind of sex warehouses, like, oh my God, like, no, no. And this just felt like the most incredible, what am I saying? Luxe experience, like a really beautiful luxe experience. So we went into the store anyway, and I felt a little bit coy, but the woman was just amazing. I mean, their training must be incredible. And I said, look, we're looking for something. It's my birthday. It's a present. And she took me on the kind of gave me the full one-on-one on the toys. And it was so much fun. And it was pretty cool because I feel like, again, there's all these little things. Even now today, there's like things that I will notice since I did the work with Rachel that I'll say, oh, that's different. Like I wouldn't have done that before, you know, before the hypnotherapy. And I was just like really engaged with this woman. She was giving me the full, not obviously the full demo, but like showing me how all these different toys worked and so on. And it was just a really, really cool experience. And so we bought something, and that has been like, holy fuck. We used it for the first time. And I just said to Wade, where has this been my entire life? Oh my God. So I'm kind of obsessed now. It's like one of my life goals is to get a new toy every month or maybe every week. And so that was a really, really cool experience. And interestingly, Wade was getting me another one for Christmas. And we went to the Honey Bourdette store in Pacific Fair when we were in Queensland. And again, this was like almost like the compounding effect of the hypnotherapy. I went in and I just felt totally confident. I think because I was familiar with the brand as well and the store and the whole way it works. And I walked in, the woman was like, "Hey, can I help you?" And I said, "Oh, I want something. I want this." And I was just so like, "Yeah, this is what I want." And I was like, "Oh, this is so interesting." Just the, I don't know, it's like the gift that keeps on giving, just that confidence keeps growing. And so because I feel like it would be remiss of me to share this, obviously, if you're going to go explore this, check out, go have a conversation with someone in the store online, see what floats your boat. The two toys that I have, the first one is the Gemini, and I've also got the Venus. Gemini, that was the first one. Oh my God. That's all I will say. And so, yeah, that was just such an empowering shopping experience. And as I said, I just love the brand because it's, I don't know, not that like brands started by men are grotty, but there's just, I just love the intention behind it is women starting something for their women's pleasure. And they've got like so many toys and like, yeah, it's cool. It's really, really cool. As I said, I've got a lot of fandom for that brand because I just love what they do and the whole experience and the, sounds hilarious, but like when we took the first toy we bought home and like we were unboxing it and it was like opening an iPhone, just every single step of the experience is just beautiful. So yeah, loved that. Okay. So I've talked a lot about masculine versus feminine energy, particularly over the last kind of year or two. And what's been really powerful for me, I mean, so many learnings, which I'll go through in a second, but I think a really big learning, John Gray in his book, Beyond Mars and Venus, talks about the whole idea that he talks about the importance of men being able to access their masculine energy and women being able to access their feminine energy. And he said that one of the ways that women can get into their feminine, men can get into their masculine is to actually have sex with each other because it creates that polarity. And so he talks about this and he said that when he was counseling couples, like back when he was kind of seeing people face to face, like individual one-on-one clients or two-on-one clients, whatever you want to say, he said that he very rarely saw couples in his rooms or whatever you want to say who said that they were actually having lots of sex and they were happy with their sex life. And he said the reason for that is that it's one of the keys to a successful, and I'm talking obviously heterosexual relationship, that the man gets to be in his masculine and the woman gets to be in her feminine. It's called polarity, and that's what makes heterosexual relationships work, because you've got that polarity. Me in my feminine, for example, Wade in his masculine. So he said one of the key, yeah, the metrics almost of a good successful relationship, and you know, whether that's sex once every 6 months or sex every 6 hours, it depends on the couple, but whatever their rhythm is, having that happen, because that's what actually gets them into that polarized state, and that means that women can be fully women, essentially, and men can be fully men in their masculine essence. So I find that that has been really helpful in terms of me being more excited and engaged in sex, and then obviously engaged in sex with Wade. That has been really amazing in terms of achieving that polarity. And what I've actually really noticed now is that if we haven't had sex for, let's say, a week, like the bickering is ridiculous, like just snippy resentment from my part, anger from his, not anger, I'm not saying like aggressive anger, but just frustration, I guess, on both sides and like low level stuff. And it's been really fascinating that when we actually do have sex, then it's like the, what am I saying? It's like the screen is wiped clean. It's like everything's well again in our worlds. It's really incredible. And the impact it has on our household, like when I'm really happy, Wade's really happy, we're both contented. That's been a real eye opener for me. And I can probably see now looking back over the years that that's been a huge issue because I wasn't allowing myself to fully embrace that part of me, which meant that I was essentially preventing myself from fully stepping into my feminine energy. And then that was having the knock-on effect on Wade and our relationship and so on. Okay, I'm already having vulnerability angst about putting all this out there, but it is so important. So if it requires me angsting about putting this information out there and it's going to help even three of you listening, and I already know it will because someone emailed me this morning, someone DM'd me today saying, "I just can't wait for this episode. Like, I need to hear this in my life. I need this in my life." And I'm hoping this is what they were expecting. Okay, so I'm going to grab Wade in a few minutes, but just quick summary, just because obviously once I start talking to him, it'll be about our experience rather than my experience. What I have learned from this is that our sexuality is ours. And I'm talking about this, you know, obviously as a woman, but I think it also equally applies to men. So it's almost like we want to have our individualized sexual identity. And then we choose then to connect that up with this to the sexual identity of our partners. And I think that was the biggest missing link for me over the years, was that I just assumed that my sexuality was Wade's and his was mine. And that was it. Like, it's almost like you couldn't see where one started and one ended. So I think that that's been really, really, really big. The other thing is that it's been so important for Wade and I to be able to talk about this. I mean, if there's a topic in our relationship, or, you know, your relationship or our future relationship, that we just can't be talked about, well, it's just the obvious outcome of that is it's just going to ferment and stagnate and ferment and stagnate until it reaches some kind of fever pitch and the shit hits the fan in a massive way. So I'm really, really glad that we can talk about it. And, you know, this is, I need to be really clear, this is a work in progress, because for years we've kind of been, I've been running this pattern where I just don't want to talk to him about it. And we had a conversation about sex on Sunday morning, and I was crying at one point during the conversation. It was in our bedroom, and then I stormed downstairs and ate a nectarine and I immediately felt better. So it was like, were you just hungry for that whole conversation? But it was a really good conversation around each of our needs and what we want to make happen. And I did have a moment, actually I haven't said this to him, I wonder if he'll say anything about it when I ask him to come in and chat about this for a minute, But I just realized, like, shit, that's a conversation we would not have had 6 months ago, 4 months ago. Like, I just wouldn't have had that conversation. So that was really cool, just to feel like, oh, like, we're still obviously not perfect. I don't think anything's ever perfect. And I'm not for a second putting us out there as being perfect examples of having nailed this. It's we're still relatively new in this journey. But it definitely felt like there was progress being made in a big way. And the other thing is, yeah, variety is key. Like, just injecting that variety in, whether it's you, whatever floats your boat, leather, bondage, go for gold, you do what you do you. But it really, for me, it's just realizing that the variety is key. And I think I feel like where I was at was almost like a sense of inertia. It's like, oh, I don't even know where to start. I'm just not, I'm not engaged. I'm just going to continue being disengaged. So I think just all the little small things that all added up to being a really big transformation, I believe, came from all the little bits of variety. So for me, I mean, the underwear was great. The toys were amazing. The feeling more connected with Wade and feeling like we could talk about things. There's lots of different things that have helped and are continuing to help. And the other thing is, just sex makes everything better. Like, whether it's on your own or you with a partner, it just makes everything better. Like, from your energy to your health to your vitality. I feel like we measure our health on so many different metrics. Like, if we're eating well, if we're exercising. But I mean, sex is one of our, we think about it in terms of, like, our means of survival. Sex is up there with our core human needs. So it makes everything better. And just as one last share before I grab Wade, and I'm going to talk about this. So I was aware that there was lots of different types of orgasms. So I was like, yeah, you know, there's like various different types, but the only one that I had ever experienced was a clitoral orgasm. And that was, I mean, I'm really happy that I can orgasm, because I know a few women have experiences where they can't. And it was funny, I don't remember Rachel saying this in the healing part that she did in the recording. And then it was only, and she'd said this would happen because essentially when you do the recording, it puts you back into a hypnotic state. So you're under again, but you're just listening to the recording, but not as deep. I mean, she could probably answer that if you're as deep as you are when you're with her. And so she put me in a hypnotic state, with the recording. And what she had said to me is that you will find that you will actually, you kind of go into your own world and you're like, not fully kind of aware of what I'm saying, but sometimes you will have a certain thing that I'll say that you'll go, oh, you might not have noticed it in a previous recording. And I started to notice maybe three or four in that she was talking about three different types of orgasm and like saying you experience clitoral orgasms and vaginal orgasms and G-spot orgasms. So I was like, fuck, steady on, Rachel. Like, whoa, man. And she actually said to me later that she's like, there's some clients that I need to go do research on. So I keep meaning to ask her if she had to go do research on that. But yeah, I've had all three now, which is just fecking insane. when it's happening, I'm like, what's happening? Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. It would just be really cool and really fun to experience that with Wade. So yeah, that's my last bit of TMI. I'm literally blushing into the microphone as I'm recording this. But as I said, I feel like this is in the higher good of each of you. And this season is all about stepping into you. And if this episode maybe just helps you ask some questions, or, you know, if nothing else, and this is my biggest wish for you, if it makes you feel normal, I would love that. I would love that for you, because I know, as I said, from firsthand experience, how painful it was feeling like I was alone in my experience for so long. And actually, just one last thing, I didn't say this. Been going through this experience, because I'm someone who, when I'm experiencing something, I just like, I want to talk, like I want to process it. I want to share it with someone else. I have talked to so many women about sex since this whole experience a few months ago. Best friends, my mentees, with friends that, you know, I kind of catch up with once a year. And I sat with one of my friends at a Christmas party and gave her the full download. And I just found these women were so grateful to have the opportunity to talk about sex. And it was almost like neither of us, especially with my best friends, neither of us had wanted to talk about it. And so neither of us did. And then once I was the one to actually raise it, it blew my mind how receptive and just how excited my friends were that, oh my God, I can talk about this. This is so cool. And also they observed, like, we don't talk about it. Like, I thought it was just me and them that weren't talking about it, but they're not talking about any other girlfriends either. And then friends saying, oh, well, this is my experience in my relationship, like different issues to what myself and Wade were experiencing, but they're is similar to me, carrying so much guilt and shame about the whole thing. So I think that's been really, really special, just feeling like I can talk to, you know, it's not the only thing we talk about, but feeling like I can talk about it, and then I think give other women permission to talk about it as well by me doing so. And I think that's probably another reason for me doing this episode is to start this conversation. Obviously, this is quite an intimate conversation because podcasting is very intimate, but maybe you'll go and have a wine with a girlfriend tonight or next weekend, or go for a walk with a friend and maybe have a conversation. And I guess it's quite similar to my money mindset episode when I said it's so important for us women to talk about money and like to normalize talking about money. And I really do feel quite strongly that we should do the same around sex, obviously to each of our individual comfort levels. I mean, I'm not saying go talk to your mom about this if you don't want to. Some moms do. My friend Rishenda is half Dutch, and yeah, find it hilarious how open she is with her entire family about stuff. It's gold. Okay. I'm going to grab Wade. I'm going to grab some more water. I'm going to pause for a second. Okay.
Isn't that what we're talking about? Sex?
Babe, stop!
Woo!
He's slapping my leg. Sorry, this is really immature. Okay, so I've gone to get Wade. Clearly he's now here. Welcome.
Hi.
This is really weird because I've just done a massive share with like all of the things. But I wanted to get you in because
I didn't realize it was recording either.
You did? Did you? I can't be bothered stopping. Like, we'll just leave it in. So I was really keen to chat to you, not to chat to you, because obviously we've chatted about this a lot, but I've just recorded a whole episode on the sex renaissance of last year and the experience that I had with that. And I mean, everything I've shared, you're very aware of. We've talked about it a lot and happily had a lot of fun with it as well. So I was just really keen to get you, just to ask you a couple of questions. I kind of wish I had my audience questions for you now, but obviously we don't. We're doing this blind and I have no idea how this episode is going to go down because it's so different to anything I've done before.
Is the audience got questions or?
Well, no, because this hasn't gone out yet. So,
Roger.
Okay. So I wanted to ask you, so I've pretty much shared with everyone the experience of the last few months between the hypnotherapy, Honey Burdette discovery, us doing the work with Robert to like connect more and as a result, be able to talk about sex more and work through sex and so on. Not work through, but to talk about sex. So from your perspective, what's the difference that you've seen in me, first of all, over the last few months when it comes to the whole topic of sex? I need you to be closer to the mic. I'll just move to you.
What is the difference?
Yeah. Or has there been a difference?
Yeah, there has been a difference. And it's obviously a mental shift.
Yeah, agreed.
That's it. I mean, it's just that you now or have become a lot more open.
Yeah, agreed.
To things and, you know, and then more in touch with what you want.
Yeah.
And just more willing to grasp, I suppose.
What do you mean grasp? Like grasp you?
No, just more willing to engage in, you know, what is a massive proportion of the life that you should be engaging with.
Mm.
So it's been great.
And what do you think has been the difference for us then?
the difference for us has been profound. I mean,
I'm just sorry for everyone listening. I have absolutely no idea what he's going to say because we didn't script this at all.
No, it's hard to separate you being pregnant, though. That's really been a struggle for me because I feel like pre-getting pregnant, I was in a really great space about it and what was going on and everything. And then once you got pregnant, it became a really kind of just, well, it's a, you know, it's a, it, is it just a pregnancy thing or is it, you know, or it's genuine? So
I'm just to spell that out, what you're saying is my sex drive has been really high over the last, comparatively really high.
Yeah.
So it's hard to know if that's the pregnancy hormones or if it's me. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
But I would say, I mean, things were really good for probably 2 months before we got pregnant.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It was really good and it was leading up and it was like, wow, this is going somewhere positive. And it was like, you know what I mean? It was just fantastic. So it's, yeah, that the pregnancy then just, you know what I mean? Yeah, as you say, it took it off a railroad, but did it really? I don't know, because what's hormones versus what's reality?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what I've really found hard to get across my head, and that's why I don't know the answer as to whether we're on the right track.
Yeah. I think we are, just based on the openness of talking about things. And I don't for me, and I don't want to plant words here, but I know for me, I just feel like I've engaged again. Like, I'm excited about that area before now, which is like I wasn't, as you know.
100%.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and seeing you excited about something, which I think everyone should be excited about. You know, I have strong views on this.
I do.
It's like, it's like 25% of your life, like at least, I reckon. So,
I have talked about that in the episode, just the knock-on effect of feeling engaged sexually, whether it's on your own or with someone else or 20 other people, whatever. I think it's that sense of the knock-on effect in all the other areas of your life, like your vitality, your energy, your sleep, your strength as a man. I know you've got a lot. I mean, probably won't get into it in this, but just the importance for men and women, obviously, of having sex and just being in their masculine energy is so important as well.
But I'd argue it's significantly more important than men than women.
I would disagree, because that's the whole premise of the realizations I had last year. Is that we think, oh, it's more important for men to have the variety and do all the things, when actually, from what Dr. Wednesday Martin said and shared, it's actually more important for women to have the variety than the men.
Yeah, different. Sorry, we're talking about different things.
Okay.
I would argue you're 100% correct. Yes.
Of course.
Of course. The importance for men is more important into how it has a knock-on effect for all the other areas of their lives, because sex has a very, like, for Christ's sake, the whole self-help movement was built on a book that was written about sex. What's which was book? Think and Grow Rich.
I wouldn't say it's written about sex.
Sex Transmutation is an entire chapter.
Okay, that's true. And but I wouldn't say the whole book is about that.
Yeah, but a significant proportion of it is about a male finding the right female partner, a male transmutating his sexual energy into energy to produce.
And you say produce like business or success rather than children.
Exactly. And that's what contributes to the great society we have.
Yeah,
and
true.
Then he also states quite clearly that sex is the most powerful force that a man has.
Mm.
So if you don't use this correctly, like you're honestly wasting it. I've been in the, you know, wasteland with this kind of stuff in lots of respects, you know, from a mental perspective. Like, it's so easy, and I'm not saying this relating to you, I'm saying this to me, it's fucking hard to get this shit under control.
Mm.
So I've struggled. And
okay. Do you feel better now?
Yeah, I feel like definitely well better. And yet also with a tinge of I don't know where it's going as well.
Yeah. Do you feel like your health or your energy has changed as a result of us being more connected sexually?
Yeah, 100%.
You do?
Like,
I haven't asked you this.
I can't even compare it.
Really? In what way? Can you give a specific example?
Because so much of my headspace is taken up, and has been in the past, with firstly our relationship, which is the foundation of so many other problems, right? Because it just flows onto work and everything else you do. If you haven't got your relationship right, and I know as a Cancer, I'm like, home is important to me. And so if I can't be at home and feel comfortable and, you know, not be fighting as I'm a fighter, it's like it's, you know, it drives me insane. And then that obviously throws food to sex, which is energy. It's like, it's all related.
So how have you felt better yourself since sex took an upswing?
How have I felt better in myself? Like, I significantly feel more loved, like, to an extreme level. Yeah. yeah. like, my thinking that would be, I'd hope that everyone would be feeling loved, and so the feeling of not being loved is more like, oh, then, you know what I mean? Okay. Like, you shouldn't have been in that place in the first instance.
Yeah, agreed. But I'm glad you're feeling more love. It's important.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, with more love is more connection, because it's a huge basis of connection. And then, therefore, you're not as irritable. You have...
You're talking about me or you?
Both.
Yeah.
It's easier to engage on relationship topics.
Yeah.
It's easier to find appreciation with each other, which gratitude is a huge fundamental thing with, you know, relationships as well.
Yeah.
Like, you're on the same page together, and then there's the energy effects. There's the excitement effects. There's a positive outlook. Like, I mean, Cross's book's written on this, and I don't know anything of it.
Yeah, and that's what I did really clearly pre-frame this episode, is that I'm not an expert. I'm just purely sharing almost like the bird's eye view of what I experienced and we experienced.
The only thing I'd say is, like, remember, like, when we first met and, you know, you were having – we were seeing each other a lot and you were not getting much sleep, and that was the first time that you'd not got much sleep. You were, you know, doing all these other things and you never, ever felt tired.
No, no.
And it's like the power.
I was like knocking it out of the park at work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the power of when you first meet someone and that sex energy that comes out of that, like, fuck, it's just, it's the foundation of so much success. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if you take that away from relationships, like, so, yeah, it's huge.
Yeah. Just curious, because I talked a little bit about Honey Burdette and going into the store together, and like, I was saying in the podcast episode, like, which is still in my piece of the podcast episode, that I found, like, I love going in there because I feel like it's such an empowering experience. And there's the difference knowing that the brand has been started by a woman for other women. It's just so different. How do you feel as a man going in there? I haven't asked you this.
Oh, it's like, it's great.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? Like, you're just looking at the hot chicks and the stuff there.
Right.
But seriously, like, it's great. It's awesome. It looks amazing.
Yeah.
So... But I'm not going there going, oh, it's my brand, because it's not my brand. That makes sense.
No, what do you mean?
Well, it's not a brand I associate with.
Yeah.
Because it's a very female-orientated brand, which is exactly what it should be, and that's what makes me happy about it, and that's why I like it. Yeah. Does that make sense? So I'm so happy that they've been able to make this accessible for you and all the other females.
Happy. Yeah,
and they make you happy, and that's great. Do you get me? Yeah. That's why I love the brand. But I'm not going to be putting a Honey Burdette sticker on my skateboard.
No, you're not. I mean, you're not putting any stickers on your skateboard because they're all just piled up on the bloody dresser waiting to go on the skateboard.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to add? I mean, I feel like we could probably do a whole episode just the two of us on this. I'm just conscious that I just collared you and asked you to come in and do an off-the-cuff podcast interview with me.
No, whatever you want to talk about, I'm happy to talk about.
No, that's it for me. As I said, it would be interesting to know, I mean, if there are any questions from this.
I thought you were going to ask about the conversation.
I was. That was really important. So, yes, thank you. I did want to ask you about how you felt in that conversation, because just for context, everyone, I don't know if I explained, we're in U10, we were on a date. I just listened to the Dr. Wednesday Martin interview with Kylie. Was having all kinds of, like... What were you saying? Like, fireworks in my brain going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, this is the why, this is the why, this is the why. And then I gave you like a massive download in the pub that night over dinner around, I don't think I stopped talking for like an hour on this topic. And your face is just like, I was just explaining the podcast interview. In a way, it was like, what the fuck is going on? Should I be worried? And then the other part of it was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. She's actually talking to me about sex for the first time in like God knows how long. And I feel like you were just oscillating between so many like emotions and thoughts. How did you feel? Because I mean, that when I talked to friends about the conversation and what I said to you that night, I mean, a lot of friends said, whoa, man, I mean, how that's big, you know, for a guy to kind of process what you said. How did you feel having that conversation?
Just relieved.
In what way? Why?
Like, firstly, as you said, it's so great to talk to you about sex. And the views that you hold are completely, I think, in line with what you should be holding and where you're at. Like, so I don't know if you've talked about those views, but in this podcast, if that makes sense. But it's like, I just think that that makes natural sense. And so, do you mean for you to come and talk to me about what you're feeling and that this resonated with you and then you kind of helped explain how you were feeling was fucking fantastic. Because it's like, yes, thank you, Jimmy. It's like, I don't know, like the truth is always better than the alternate, and even as bad as you might think it is. Like, I don't understand why I would ever not be positive about you talking about honestly how you're feeling about sex. Because then it's something that can be worked on, right? Clarity is power. And to hold the views that you have is just, when you look back to thousands of years, it makes sense for females. Because, you know, we lived in tribes of 150 people and 50% of males never reproduced. And that was because they were dying in wars and getting killed by bears. And then, you know, the following 6 months, that other tribe would take over the tribe and kill all the males and rape all the females and take them into their own tribe. And so that's, what, of course, why females naturally would want to move from male to male.
I never thought about that. Yeah.
It's not that they wanted necessarily, but it's just a circumstance.
Of survival.
Of survival. So do you mean to kind of say, you know, that's where, yeah, of course. And in the same way, males do the same thing. Like, they're the ones that do the raping on the other side. I mean, no, this sounds very visual and all that kind of stuff, but you watch fucking Vikings. I mean, what do you think they're doing, right?
Bad acting. You know my views on Vikings.
It's such a good show.
Stupid show.
But that's what the males are doing. But they, that's the thing. They always have one relationship, and actually males do, from my understanding, a lot better in what do you call it?
Monogamous relationships.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Dr. Wednesday Martin says. Like, she says that men start to kind of not get bored, but they start to get a bit weary of the same person after 10 years, where women it's 1 to 4 years. It's a pretty massive difference.
Yeah. But it's like the guys will keep the love, but they're going away and raiding and, you know, doing things in other countries, you know, and that's how they work that out. And then they're going to be dead next week anyway, so what the fuck does it matter? Whereas females always survive because they've got value. Males don't have value.
You mean women have value from a sexual perspective or a reproductive perspective?
Both perspective. And historically, that's important, whereas men are expendable. They die on battlefields, and that's what they're expected to do. Or they're expected to make the other side die on their battlefield.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Great.
But you know,
didn't think we'd go there. But, yeah, thanks for sharing how you felt about that conversation.
So for you to bring it up in a pub, it just kind of boggles me that a guy would sit on the other side and get weird about it. It's like, well, that's what we've been doing for thousands of years. So, yeah.
I know, it's funny because you and I haven't talked about it like that. I've never actually, I guess, traced it back to what the, what am I saying? Like the
origins.
Yeah, like the tribal origins of why that behaved, why that would make sense. And, you know, it's in, I haven't actually read her book, Dr. Wednesday Martin. I couldn't download it last night
because
it's the next book I want to read. I wanted to get to it over Christmas, and that last book I read just took forever to read. As you know, I kept falling asleep within 3 minutes of picking it up every night. Like, I'm finishing the book tonight. And then I was like, oh, I'm asleep. So, yeah, I want to read her book because I think she does get into that in the book.
I'd be interested to see if she holds
up. So, yeah, I'll start reading it tonight. So I'll fill you in.
Cool.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add?
No, like,
you're obviously on your own journey at the moment around exploring this whole masculine space.
Yeah. And, but I feel like, you know, with the sex journey, it's, you know, it's something that I've had an interest in for a long time, but I've never been able to make it work for me in the way that I really would want it to. As I spoke to you the other day about reaching your potential in that space. So
that's a really, it's I like that you brought that up because I think that's like what makes me so sad about those few years. I mean, you talked about the wild wilderness. No, you didn't use that word. You used another word.
I think wilderness.
Wasteland. You said a wasteland. But I feel like that's where I was as well. You know, it's just this amazing, exciting, dynamic space. I mean, just basic shit. Like I was talking about the Gemini. And like the first time we used it, I was like, where has this been? Like, why the fuck haven't I been doing this for the last 15 years? Like, so I think, yeah, that whole idea of reaching your potential and just purely my, you know, passing absolutely zero judgment on anyone else. But I know from my own experience, just I just feel really sad that I was missing out on that for so long. Like nothing, no offense to do with you, but just for myself to have that pleasure and dynamism and excitement.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's equal responsibility in that. In that, you know what I mean? I've been fucking in my own world, doing my own thing as well. Mm. And the thing is with that, it's just like, you know what I mean? It's 1 millimeter on the way to bloody China. Like it's not even touching the surface of what's possible.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, that's how excited you get about that. It's insane.
I know. It's such a basic thing. Like, oh my God. Oh my God. Can I tell people about my, like, not my fantasy. That's, I think I've shared enough for one episode. But my whole thing around, I was like, we have a house and we build it ourselves and we get built-in wardrobes. I'm going to have like my little display cabinet for my, like, my collection of toys that I'm going to be building over the years. So fun. So cool. Just such a simple thing. And I think I just wrote them off going, I think as we think about the rampant rabbit from Sex and the City, I was telling you about this, like, you're not aware of this at all, like this whole episode and how big it was. And like every one of my friends had a rampant rabbit. Like we all had one. And just how far toys have come since then and just how much classy they are and sexy. And I was talking about the unboxing of the toys and just how beautiful they are. And then Lexio goes, we bought that one at Pacific Fair. She was with us and I was showing you how it worked in the car. She's like, Mama, what's that? I was like, it's something to tickle Dada's toes. Oh, awkward. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No.
Thanks for sharing.
I can talk about all you want.
Yeah, I think I should let you go to bed. I may go to bed as well. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right, I'll just do my little sign off. So, team, I'm going to do this as a wrapping up this episode now. So thank you so much for joining this chat. I shared pretty much what I've learned just before Wade came in, but I really do hope that, as I said, my intention of putting this episode out there was to help you feel less alone if you're experiencing similar or maybe the same issues that I was experiencing over the last few years. And yeah, just really grateful for you, babe, to come in and talk about it and to be happy for me to talk about our sex life. I was going to say on national radio, but it's not quite national radio, but it's still putting it out there. And I had a disclaimer at the start of that. If you're related to me, you have to press stop right now and go listen to another episode, please. So I can't bear the idea of anyone I'm related to listening to this. But very, very quick reminder before we sign off that the Step Into You Challenge is kicking off on the 1st of February. You can sign up at lorrainemurphy.com.au/stepintoyou. Would love to have you on there. I'm not going to have any sex challenges on there just in case you're worried about that. I think that might be a bridge too far. But yeah, thank you so much for joining this episode. And as always, would love to hear your feedback. I have absolutely no idea how this episode is going to go. So time will tell. Thanks, babe.
Thank you for being part of this week's episode. It was remarkable to have you. I am always keen to hear your thoughts, questions, ideas, and suggestions for future topics for the podcast. So please get in touch on Instagram. My handle is @LorraineRemarks and through my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au. If you're enjoying what I'm putting out here, please do rate, review, or subscribe to the podcast so more people can find out about it and we can build this special community. Or even better, do all three. Chat to you next week.